This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
People, this is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 6th, 2012, episode 546. Horses in the Morning is live Monday and Wednesday and Friday, so today we bring you a classic revisit from the Horse Radio Network. Today's equine-fueled fun fest opens with an epic adventure story from Jamie featuring one of her famous baby animal rescues. Next up, the crappy list comes back for another laugh with a list of career choices you've never heard of. And to round out the day, part five of our Give the Gift of Safety Helmets series, brought to you by Charles Owen and Riders for Helmets. Horses in the Morning will be back live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, replete with riotous reports regarding all things equine. And don't forget to surf the web for the silliest, snarkiest, snappiest classifieds and email them to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network with bad ads in the subject line. On Friday, we will share the top 12, and the listener who submitted what Glenn and Jamie decide is the best of the worst will win a Stud Muffins Ultimate Horse Treats gift pack. Please prepare yourselves to exercise your laugh muscles.
I am always doing horsing around. There's not a day that I don't. So, yeah, no horse shows, no traveling. Next weekend is when I go to school the cross-country course and practice training level eventing. Moving up a level, but until then, not going anywhere.
Well, that's nice. It'd be nice having a weekend at home. And what's the weather? Has it been super hot out there, or has it cooled down a bit?
It is like the surface of the sun, my friend. That is it.
No haboobs yesterday? You were haboob free?
Did get some gusty wind, which I will tell you what happened as a result of the gusty wind coming up a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, we have had the most perfect weather ever since we moved to Florida. And I know that's going to change. And I know it's going to get to be about 100 degrees with 100% humidity. But, boy, we're enjoying the heck out of it now. Got a nice bike ride yesterday with my father-in-law's here. We took a ride through the neighborhood, and it was just the most beautiful day. We've been so lucky since we got here. So lucky.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I know that's probably going to change. But Jennifer, it's Friday. What's coming up? She doesn't even know either. None of us know.
Thank goodness. No, we don't know what's going on. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday, it's back to riding after the baby with blogger extraordinary Jackie Baker. And in quick succession, Really Bad Ads is back, and we're just going to have a great time with that. Last party, drink root beer, stay tuned for the fracas.
You can tell it's Friday. Jennifer didn't have one big word in that whole thing.
Nope, not a one.
I understood every word. My daily Winnie goes to Black Caviar and Mel Donald. Mel Donald posted on our Facebook this morning. She's from Australia, been on the show before as a guest, and said Black Caviar is racing for her 21st start tomorrow in about 18 hours' time. Good luck, Nellie. Well, I'll tell you what, they love Black Caviar down there, and as you can tell, they're counting down the hours. I mean, we count down the days to the Kentucky Derby. They're counting down the hours till Black Caviar runs again. And also, I got to congratulate Mel, too. She just moved into a brand new house, and I think she just moved in like last week. So congratulations, Mel, on your new digs.
My daily Winnie goes to if you recall yesterday, and if you weren't here yesterday, I talked about we had this huge haboob, this weather front come through, and gusting winds. It knocked a bird nest out of the very tippy top of a tree. The bird fell down, broke its leg, and is a baby bird, and I picked it up. And again, it was like 60 mile an hour gusts of wind. I couldn't put it back anywhere, so I took it inside, and I was going to nurse it. And yesterday morning, I had it in the house. Afterwards, I realized that the parents were still outside for the bird. So the Daily Whinny goes to the parents of the bird, because here's what I had to do. I couldn't get, I mean, unless I had a fireman's ladder, there's no way I was to get into this nest, because it was so high up in the top of this tree, because I wanted to just put the bird back in the nest now that it wasn't windy. Well, the only thing I could come up with is the trees right next to my little barn.
Yeah.
And so I put a ladder next to the barn, which is under the tree, and I climbed up, and I had a laundry basket, and I filled it with hay like a little nest, and I put the baby bird in the laundry basket and climbed up to the top, and I put it on my barn. Now, mind you, the whole time this baby bird is screaming, and the parents are dive-bombing me, okay, from up above, and I'm like, I'm trying to help! Leave me alone! Just give me a second! I'm sorry to hurry! So the baby bird is in this laundry basket on top of the barn. I cannot wait to explain why there's a laundry basket on top of my barn when my husband gets home from work. Not the point. At some point during the day, another big, giant gust of wind. The laundry basket, when I came back outside, was sitting on the ground, and the baby bird was next to the hay pile. Now,
his other leg broken now?
He actually was fine. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, he's dead. Oh, I just killed him. Well, these things are pretty tough, because when I got next to him, he ran underneath the pallets of the hay in my little hay shed. Underneath the pallets, and I had just gotten a load of hay. Now, mind you, Mom and Dad Bird are screaming at me. I have 100-pound bales. I had to take all of the bales of hay and throw them to the side to try to lift up the pallet and chase this stupid baby bird around until I finally caught him, which took about an hour in the sun. It was 102 yesterday, and I'm throwing 100-pound bales of hay to get this stupid-ass baby bird. I finally get it caught. I'm giving you the short version. Get the baby bird caught. I put him back in the net, in the laundry basket. I go and I get some rocks, and I put the big rock inside the basket. I climb back up the ladder with this heavy-ass basket, and I put it on my roof, and I'm like, whew, I'm done. Just at that moment, as I finish putting their child up on the roof, I am serious as a heart attack. God, strike me down if I'm lying. That mama bird went by and crapped on me. Poop. Right on my arm as I'm putting their baby bird back on top of the barn. The little dirt craps on me. I am sweaty. I have moved 100-pound bales of hay. I have pushed pallets around. I have done nothing but try to help this baby, and they crap on me. Tell me they don't do that on purpose.
Well, that's it for the show today. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend.
It can't get any better than that. The rest of the show is going to be anticlimactic.
That's it. We're done. I mean, the really bad ads, nothing's going to match up with that. We're just done.
Someday, when I
you were so lovey-dovey about this little baby bird with a broken leg, and you were going to help it fix it. And today it says, get it, baby bird. And not only that, you took it into a basket. You put it on the roof so it could bake to death in the sun. You might as well.
It's under a tree. Trust me, it's under a tree. Okay.
What part of putting it in a basket on the roof when you know your cat lives on the roof was a good idea?
Different roof. And again, my cat is worthless. There's no, this cat would be so scared of this bird, it's not even funny.
Jennifer, could you please write that down as one of the best dubs for the future? This segment, please.
No.
Write that down. We need to replay it every week.
And this is what I'm thinking. When I die, and hopefully I go to heaven, and the good Lord is sitting there, and he is, you know, looking at me, and you get that one question at the end, You know, like people, you know, they may just say, what is the meaning of life, God? What did I have to learn? Blah, blah. I'm going to say to Jesus or whoever, I'm going to say, why did the bird crap on me? Why? I was doing everything I could.
Maybe that was, well, maybe that was their way of saying thank you.
Yeah, I somehow don't think so. As it's screaming, I mean, I'm on this ladder with this laundry basket, and the thing is dive-bombing me, trying to get in my hair. It's awful.
Is the bird still alive, or don't we know if it survived the night?
Oh, it's alive. The second I put it in the laundry basket, they jumped in it. I mean, this was like a tested theory here. For you, those who don't know, they will now take care of their baby bird. They were really wanting to take care of it. I'm like, well, just pick him up and put him back up there, but they just won't do that. So they actually landed right on the laundry basket as soon as I climbed down.
So they're actually, so now the nest is a laundry basket?
Apparently, with rocks in it.
And did your husband ask why there was a laundry basket on the roof?
No, but when he got home, he goes, why is the hay all over the place? I just stacked all of this hay. I mean, it's like 15 bales, 100 pounds apiece. And he's like, why is it laying all over the ground? I said, honey, please just don't ask. And he's like, I'm going to ask because I want to know why the hay's there. And I'm like, let's just say it has something to do with a bird. And he goes, I don't want to hear anymore.
He's become a smart man in his young marriage here.
I'm like, and I'm frazzled, you know, and like my hair is stuck to my face. I'm sweaty. This is just like awful. It's just, it's not even happening. And I was in no mood. I was in no mood.
Glenn the Geek here, founder of the Horse Radio Network. We are excited to bring you a special holiday helmet mini-series, giving the gift of safety, purchasing a helmet for your loved ones at Christmas. In cooperation with Charles Owen and Riders for Helmets, we have created this six-part mini-series to highlight some amazing real-life stories and some tips on buying helmets as gifts. And today we speak to Roy from Charles Owen about helmet style and safety going forward and what's coming up in the years to come. Well, Roy, welcome back to our holiday helmet mini-series. We're discussing here helmets and how they make a terrific gift for the holidays and how protecting your loved one's head is perhaps the most important thing you can do in a gift for the holidays. But you and I have been to a couple conferences together where we talked about adoption and how do we get more and more people to wear helmets, whether it be English riders or Western riders or just trail riders. How do we get more and more people to do that? And one of the things that we talked about is that they have to look stylish. People have to want to wear them as an accessory to their outfit rather than something that just conflicts with their outfit. And, you know, I know that Charles Owen has, through the years, and a lot of the helmet companies, but especially Charles Owen, you have really made the helmets much thinner, much more stylish, less of a big bowl on the head like they were in the 1990s, and more like a fashion accessory that you're seeing Olympians wear now. Has that been a major push of yours at the company?
Yeah, I mean, we totally agree with the fact that, you know, we want people to feel good. I mean, if you look at the British gold medalist for the dressage, she actually was still wearing a helmet 2 hours after the event. You know, even for the TV interviews, because, you know, she had it on, she'd forgotten about it. She just felt that, you know, it saved everyone looking at her helmet hair. and so therefore, helmets really have started to become an accessory to aid one's style. And that's why when you look at the catalogs nowadays, people look at it and say, oh my goodness, there's such a variety to choose from. You know, where on earth do you start? And that's really starting to understand a little bit. It's a bit like if you were going to buy a handbag for somebody, for a lady. You know, you really need to understand a little bit about what they're trying to portray. And it's the same thing with the helmets. I mean, you've got the very classical sort of hunting type shapes. You've got the more modern suede looks. You've got a lot of this piping that we're now introducing, where you're able to color coordinate the whole outfit through into the saddle pad, onto the jacket, Making it so much easier for people to accept helmets. And of course, we've got a lot of riders at the top of the sport that are really leading the way in trying to give us the sense that a helmet is part of our activity. It's not something that's an optional extra.
And now also, you know, with the sort of 3D designing that you're doing, and a lot of that revolves around the air vents that you're putting into the helmets. And in the early days of having air vents in helmets, they were very noticeable and they looked like big holes in the helmet. Now you're hiding them so well, it really doesn't take away the sleek design of the helmet having the air vents in there.
Absolutely, because of course some of the standards require us to protect against things like studs in the bottom of horseshoes, so we can't just make air vents bigger and bigger to cool the head. And now we're studying how air flows through the helmet and where the most effective way of cooling the head. For example, in one of the latest helmets that we've launched at the end of this year, we're using a new thing called a free-fit system. And what we do is we lay a mesh of Cormax across the forehead, which, of course, is where the first beads of sweat are created. And then we allow air to flow over that mesh and evaporate the sweat. And of course, by doing that, we create an air conditioning effect, because as we evaporate the sweat, it actually has a chilling effect on our forehead. And it's by doing stuff like that, we can really keep the classical look, the stylish look of the rider without compromising their comfort and their fit.
Now, I know, Roy, that the helmets are appearing to get slimmer all the time. They're appearing to have, you know, they're not, your profile isn't as big as it used to be. Does that affect the safety at all, or are you able to design, you know, more compact materials?
Oh, I mean, we are doing so much computer analysis now where we're able to, removing fat, we're almost discovering that helmets that are too thick can actually provide less protection because the structure isn't able to collapse as we thought it would do with the thick structures. So really, when you look behind the badge, that's where you really start to have to understand how the technology is really being fine-tuned. We're on a microscopic level. I mean, inside we've got this tiny little bubbles of air that you can only see under a microscope. And when you're dealing with the different geometry of the outer shape, and also the fact that the skull has different strength and forces coming into the brain from all the analysis that's being done on stresses that are created inside the brain, we actually are getting to a level where we can remove excess protection that actually offers us nothing and really build up the protection in the areas where we really do need it. It really is allowing us to make helmets that are much more efficient. And in many ways, perhaps you see it in cars. I mean, cars of yesteryear used to be huge and big, but you know, nowadays into a small car, you can pack a lot of safety.
Well, Roy, now coming down the pike, you know, in 2013 and beyond, what are we going to see? What evolution are helmets going to take over the next couple of years?
Well, it's an area that we are going to be seeing helmets that are going to be delivering more safety within. There's been a number of standards that have been recently reviewed, and they are looking for more protection within the same envelope that we have. So we can see that head protection is becoming much more front page with American football helmets, looking at concussions and how we can reduce those. So there's a lot of technology that's going to be coming through. And of course, we've invested hugely in computer simulation, which is allowing us to really understand a lot more. And sometimes we look back in to the early days and just wondered how on earth we managed to get to design helmets that did as much protection to the head as they do. Obviously, people are always looking for more ventilation, more comfort. We can probably see that helmet shapes, we are coming across many more different shaped heads as more and more helmets are being worn. I mean, maybe in days gone by, if you didn't find a helmet that fit you, you would just say, oh, maybe helmets are not just for me. Well, of course, nowadays, if you're going to do any serious riding, then most people are looking for people to wear a helmet. So that's another challenge that's coming along to us is really understanding how we can get a helmet to adapt. And for us, introducing MicroFit, which is a new method of allowing the helmet to be adjusted to take that little pressure above the temple area that sometimes people have. And professional helmet fitters in your local retailer will be able to adjust the helmet to suit your head if you are suffering any discomfort.
And of course, one of the things that we want to stress here is that you just need to do it. You need to go out. If you need a new helmet and somebody's going to buy it for you for the holidays, that's terrific. If you're thinking about buying somebody a helmet for the holidays and giving that gift of safety, then that's something that we encourage you to do. And as I said, as we said in past episodes here, you can do that any number of ways. You can go back and take a listen to part one of this discussion to take a look at how you can give it as a gift. But the important part is that you do. It's not something that should be put off. It's something that should be done now because, you know, it's never too soon to prepare and to buy a very safe helmet. We recommend that you do it through Charles Owen. And Roy, we thank you so much for being here for this series with us. I hope that with this series we've helped, if it's one or two people that have gone out and bought a helmet and protected their heads for the next time they come unglued, then I think we've done our job here.
And I would like to make a special thank you for all the volunteers that are behind Riders for Helmets. I mean, they have really raised the game. And we are so thankful that people are starting to question the type of helmets, the fit of helmets, and really start to understand the silent injury of brain damage. I mean, the telling stories that we hear that we just didn't hear in the past. And I think it's really helped to make people very much more aware of what can happen if you don't have a well-fitted helmet on your head.
Thank you to Riders for Helmets for everything they do for helmet awareness and safety. You can visit them at riders4helmets.com. And thank you to Charles Owen. You can visit them at charlesowen.co.uk. And next week, we bring you the last part in this helmet series when we have an interview with Courtney King Dye, the dressage rider that was the inspiration for Riders for Helmets a couple years ago when she took her nasty spill. And we chat with her about her life and what's happening next. You can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Talk to you next week, everybody.
So now I have two lists for you. They're kind of related lists. It's been a long time since we did Crappy List Wednesday, so we'll do that today. We have a little time. I have the 10 most dangerous jobs just came out for 2012 again, and also the coolest jobs you've never heard of. So which one do you want to hear?
Coolest jobs you've never heard of.
All right. These are some you've never heard of, and I would ask you to guess, but there's no way in hell you're ever going to guess these. How about if you applied for a job to be a water slide tester? Yes,
Ooh.
That's right, a water slide tester. They actually, there's a company by the name of First Choice, which is a British travel company, that has this guy by the name of Tommy Lynch that travels the world visiting water parks and rating water parks. So that's his job. He goes around the world doing water slides and raiding water parks, doing all of the attractions at water parks.
Okay, so this is not like he's testing out prototypes of water slides. Okay, because that would be a really crappy job. Like, slide down this and tell me what happens. You get catapulted. That's what I envisioned.
He's a test dummy. Nope, he gets it better than that. He gets to go, like, sit on the beach. He gets to go do all of the little things at the water park. He gets to eat the food. What a good job. How do you get that job?
Yeah,
that's pretty
not
good
bad.
Job. Yeah. How about cup keeper? And that's not the kind of cup you immediately thought of. It's because that's the kind of cup I immediately thought of. Ew! But no, it's not that kind of cup. It's the Stanley Cup. There is actually somebody, because that's a traveling trophy, but there is actually somebody that whose job it is to protect the trophy. And he does the MVP appearances, and, you know, he actually is in charge of keeping the trophy safe. And it's a paid position. So
no
that's
kidding.
His job. Yeah. His name is Mike Bolt. He's 42-year-old from Toronto, and he's been protecting the trophy since the year 2000. And he said that the compensation for the position is closely guarded secret, and it's a highly coveted position.
I would imagine. That has to be, like, the easiest job in the world.
Yeah. It should, you know, they should probably add Stanley Cup Keeper, because Cup Keeper has a lot of bad
especially hockey-related cups.
How about Field Test Analyst for Recreational Equipment? And apparently there's this guy that works for Recreational Equipment Company, which sells sporting goods and recreational gear to 100 retailers around the United States. And this guy's job is to test the skateboards and the bikes and the skis. He is the official equipment tester, and he goes out around the country and tests the equipment to make sure it's okay.
That's a good job. That is a good – it's like in the movie Big when what's his name gets to go and he's the tester for a bunch of toys, and that's what the job that he has.
Yes, that's right.
Tom
I forgot
Hanks.
About that.
Tom Hanks.
I forgot about
to test all the toys.
I totally forgot about that. That's right. How about a bed tester? That sounds like my kind of job. You know that field analyst thing? They got to do recreation. It requires exercise and, like, you know, you got to do stuff. But if you're a bed tester, now that's a cool job. And this is actually a real job. And what they do is it involves bouncing on beds to test comfort. It apparently is a serious business, and it's done by Natalie Thomas, who works for Premier Inn Hotel Chain in the UK, and her team are tasked with testing all of the chain's 46,000 beds. So she goes from hotel to hotel, jumping and laying on beds.
Oh, my God. What about those hotels that have, like, the bed bugs or, like, the nasty, you know, you have to take the black light in there and, yeah, no.
I'm actually seeing that there's a picture of one of the rooms here, and I don't think this is that kind of hotel. This is it looks kind of a little fancy. Yeah, kind of nice.
Hey,
there you go.
Nasty stuff happens in fancy hotels just like in crappy hotels.
Now, get this too, Jamie. In 2011, the company, Premier Inn, had this woman, get this, Natalie Thomas's butt insured for $6.3 million.
No way.
Yes, through Lloyd's of London.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
There's another job you've never heard of, butt insurer.
Yes.
Yes. You have to inspect that before you insure it. I mean, what's the deal?
And then the number one job, apparently, that you've never heard of is a gold stacker. The United States Bullion Depository, better known as Fort Knox, is not the largest gold repository in the United States. That is actually at the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. And apparently, occasionally, they have to move some of the $194 billion worth of gold bars that are stored there. So they have these official people known as gold stackers, this team of gold stackers that are in charge of moving the 27-pound gold bars. Now, apparently it's hard work. You know, it's a lot harder than the bed tester because gold bars are heavy, 27 pounds each, and they got to move these things from one stack to another. So that's their job. You're the gold stacker. You get paid to do that.
That's not a fun job. That sounds like hard work.
That does sound like hard work, but and you probably don't get to put any in your pocket either. They're probably real picky about that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That's lame. So that's it. There's the five cool jobs that you've never heard of.
I want to be the water slide tester.
I'll take the bed one myself. I'll do that one.
Yeah, the bed tester. Yeah. I got to really do some research on this one. I'm going to be here for a couple hours. Come back later.
That's right. This one seems a little iffy. I have to make sure. And the 10 most dangerous jobs were the ones that we've had every year, pretty much. Policemen, stuntman, truck drivers. There was one that surprised me, and that was refuse and recyclable material collectors. And when did the garbage man get named a refuse material collector?
Are you kidding me? That's the name for the garbage man?
Yes, that's the trash collector. Refuse material collector now.
Wow. Wow.
And apparently it's the fourth most dangerous occupation.
Why?
I don't know. It says it was for non-fatal injuries, primarily lacerations. I guess they can get cut, you know. Roofers are on that list, which you would expect, miners. And then, you know, one of the most dangerous is farmers and ranchers. It's always on that list, too.
As many times as you hear about the, you know, if you Google it, tractors turning over. That happens a lot. Scary enough.
Loggers, and then number one on the list, again, is fishermen. Fishermen are always number one on the list. And do you know what the average annual salary is for the most dangerous job in the world, fishermen?
What?
$25,000 a year.
Oh, no, thank you. Is that the, I thought it was good money to catch those crab or whatever.
Yeah, but not for the guy on the boat. Maybe for the guy who owns the boat. But, you know, the work average $25,000 a year. And you've watched that show where they're out there and it's freezing cold and they're falling off the decks and everything. Who'd do that? I would. No way in hell.
No, not definitely not. I won't go on a boat anyway, so I don't care. That's awful.
My crappy list.
Sounds good. Now, I know we've got some other stuff to get to, but we had a discussion before the show, Glenn, and we were talking here because I was talking to Jennifer, and we were just talking about our weekend, and I said that I was out riding horses, and our neighbor, like down the street a little bit, had gotten some goats, and they're cute, tiny, like little miniature baby goats, and they have bells around their neck and collars, and the problem is that going down the path, the horses don't know that these goats are there, and these goats come running out 100 miles an hour towards the fence with the bells around their neck, and it spooks the bejesus out of everyone. And I was just saying something about, like, this is the property that's right next to the one with all the donkeys, because that scares the horses, too. So we got donkeys and now these attack goats that come running out. That's actually really cute. And so I had to let Jet go up and sniff one. And I did send Jennifer that picture of him actually reaching down and sniffing the tiny little baby goat with the bell around his neck once he quit spooking. And with the mention of a donkey, you lost your mind.
I am telling you now, it has become official since the donkeys started attacking and eating people that this is what I've determined over the weekend, that the zombies have invaded donkeys. The zombies have gone inside of donkeys, and apocalypse is going to be caused by donkeys. It's a donkey apocalypse.
Okay. See, that is very illogical. And you make fun of me for not wanting to use the microwave, for not wanting to swim in boats. All these things you make fun of me, and now you think that zombies are taking over donkeys?
I am posting a picture right now on our Facebook page, and you look at this creature, and you tell me that is not possessed by a zombie.
Huh.
Look at it. Right there. Possessed by a zombie. Look at those big ears.
Huh. Oh, my God. That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
And it'll eat your face off. That's the idea. They lull you in to a sense of security, and then they eat your face off, donkey.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. that is, like, the cutest thing ever. Ridiculous. So donkeys are not taking over the world. And you were saying that one screams a lot.
Oh, we have a donkey there. We have a donkey that lives about a mile from here, and every yesterday morning I was walking the dog. Those things can go nuts. I mean, they just scream and scream and scream and scream and scream and scream, and they're loud. I'd hate to be next door to that donkey because that you'd never get any sleep, that donkey there.
No.
It sounds like I'm a donkey racist.
You are a donkey racist. That was my point. What is wrong with you? You're a donkey racist. So listen, whatever. Let's play the song. And I want you to know, Glenn, that when the donkey starts screaming, it is because there's a coyote nearby usually. So we have donkeys around our neighborhood, and they always let us know when the coyotes are nearby. So you should go out and hug a donkey.
Or there's a person nearby, and the zombie donkey wants to eat it. One or the other.
Okay, whatever.
Hey, the other day we tried to play a song, and we didn't have much luck. So I'm going to attempt to play the song again. And I discovered why we didn't have much luck. Is because this song is taken off of a new video by Templeton Thompson, and it's called Stillhouse Jane, and it's one of my favorites, but it has this beginning part that had no music, which is why we thought it was weird. So the music actually will start right about
now. No moonshine.
Gosh, unbelievable. Sorry. During that, I actually had to run outside because my boarders texted me and said, there's a flood out here. Joe Montana has ripped his automatic waterer off of the wall, off of the stall, and it is bolted to the stall, by the way, and somehow ripped it off, flipped it upside down, and there's a huge flood. So I just had to run out there and shut off the water and run back in. What an idiot. I don't understand. Okay. So as I'm kind of out of breath, and I'm going to go get my horse. I'm going to go practice my dressage test, Glenn. I got to go.
I think you need to, in your bikini on the beach?
No, not that's next weekend. That's after the
horse
show, okay?
Well, you have a great horse show.
Thank you. Spay, neuter, and yelp, people.